Brothers and sisters, whenever we think about this word discipleship, the word that you follow or at least come in concert with that word is the word apprenticeship. Everybody say apprenticeship. Apprenticeship is an idea, or the word apprenticeship, my brothers and sisters, implies the idea of a novice, someone who do not know what they are supposed to know how to do yet. A novice, following and working alongside, working with a professional who knows that business so well, and watching them do the work as they learn how to do by watching and working with that professional the work that they desire to learn to do. Somebody say apprenticeship. Well, my brothers and sisters, the word apprenticeship is no longer a familiar word in our postmodern world. There are no more trade schools. They're shutting down the trade schools. They used to have what they call the agricultural schools and these places where black young people went and learned trade, and they had to do that through this idea of apprenticeship. But today we have colleges and universities, and now we have what is called cohort. In other words, nobody is really the leader anymore. Everybody is working together. But my friends, I want to suggest to us that when it comes to those of us who have decided to follow Jesus, we have to go back to that word apprenticeship. Because apprenticeship is synonymous with discipleship. It is synonymous with fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. And so the word disciple comes from this Greek word matithia. And it actually means to follow someone, to be guided and carried by somebody. Now this idea of a professional teaching a novice. Can you turn this down just a tad? Teaching a novice. And allowing the novice to watch him and learn from him is an idea that you cannot do unless you know what is expected of you. The professional will have to share with the student or the mentee what is expected of them, and the mentee has to know what to expect from the professional. What do you say? In college, it's called it's when you go to college, they give you something called a syllabus. Everybody say a syllabus. Most people flunk school or get bad grades because they do not read the syllabus. One of the things that I discovered of the crochet in college was, don't ever, and I'm saying this to our young people who may be going for the first year, freshman in college, don't miss the first day of class. Whatever you do, make sure you are there the first day, because that's when the syllabus or the syllabi, if it's for everybody, is given out. And when you read the syllabus, watch this, you will see on it what is required of you that semester and what is required of the instructor. Matter of fact, one of the things that I discovered was that the instructor will tell you on the syllabus how you will be graded. They'll tell you what percentage of your grade will come from just being in the class. Not doing anything, just showing up. You get a percentage of your grade. A percentage of your grade will go to homework, assignment, and then a percentage of your grade will have to do with tests. And if the professor is one that desires the welfare of the students, some professors will say, if you want extra grade, you can do some extra work and it will give you maybe 10 points or 15 points for extra grade. Most people will not get the extra grade, Elder Prochet, because they've never read the syllabus. And so when you read and understand the syllabus, even if you are not that good at taking tests and exams, you will spend a lot of time doing your homework, making sure you get those extra points for extra work to boost your grade. I wish somebody was listening to me. My friends, do you not know that Jesus gave us a syllabus for discipleship? Jesus is getting ready to go back to heaven, and he calls his disciples in Matthew chapter 28 and in Mark chapter 16, and he's giving them a commission to go out and preach the gospel to all the world and to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And my brothers and sisters, Jesus says, I'm not just giving you an assignment. I want you to know what you are signing up for. Matter of fact, Jesus was making his disciples understand, and those of us who desire to be disciples of Christ, Jesus wants us to understand, my brothers and sisters, that the commitment to discipleship is not just a casual commitment. A commitment to discipleship is a life-altering commitment. It is so life-altering, Elder Lawrence, that Jesus gave a warning. He wanted to make sure that you didn't sign up for this gig until you understood what it is you were getting into. And so in John 16 and verse number 33, Jesus says to us, if you are going to be a disciple, I need to warn you right now, that you will not have joy in this world. You will not be able to enjoy the happiness that this world has to offer. If you decide to be a disciple of Christ, Jesus is saying to you and me, your life will be completely altered. In this life, he said, you will have tribulations. Somebody said tribulations. You will have trouble. Somebody said trouble. Now watch this. He's not talking to everybody. Jesus is talking to those who have, like the songwriter Wright said, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Jesus said, wait a minute, before you sign up on the page, on the dotted line, I need you to know that there is not going to be much happiness in your life if it comes to what this world has to offer. But I have an alternative to this world's happiness. What is it, Jesus? He said, you will have peace in me. I wish somebody was listening to me. In other words, Jesus said, I am not promising you happiness, because happiness is the result of the happenings of this world, but peace comes even in the midst of non-happiness. Is there two people in here who understand that you may not be happy because you don't have a big car and a big house and a big bank account and a lavish account and knowing people in high places and taking vacation to the exalted places of this world, but you can still have peace. You can still sleep at night. You can still have the peace of God, knowing I may not have this or that other people have, but I can go to bed at night and don't have to worry because I got peace. How do I know that? Because he said he will give you peace that passes understanding. Is there two people in here who can testify he gives peace? Jesus says, when you sign up for discipleship, you must also know that you are signing up for not having this world's goods. That's why it is troubling today when we have preachers that stand in the pulpit and talk about sow a seed for $70.77. God will give you everything you want. As if the blessings of God are for sale. Jesus says, in this life, you will have tribulations. But don't let it stress you. Because I have overcome this world. He said, and if you are going to be a disciple, let me hand you this syllabus. And my brothers and sisters, the syllabus for discipleship is in three bold points on the page of Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. The first bullet point, everybody say first bullet point, on the syllabus for discipleship is denying self. Everybody say denying self. Jesus says, if you are going to be my disciple, the first thing that is required, it is not an option. It is not something that you may want to do. Jesus says, if you want going to be an ambassador for the kingdom, you must first deny self. Everybody say deny self. In other words, you have to come to the agreement in your commitment to sign up for discipleship that the kingdom of God will now hold priority and come first in everything that you do. Now watch this. I didn't say if you want to be a church member. Because there's a difference between discipleship and church membership. Jesus didn't say if you want to be an elder. He didn't say if you want to be a deacon, if you want to be a preacher or a pastor, if you want to sing in a choir, if you want to be the AA, the clerk, if you want to be the youth ministry's leader, if you want to be the women's ministry leader, the men's ministry leader, the usher, Jesus didn't say that. He said, if you want to be my disciple, you must first deny yourself. In other words, you are not going to do what you want to do when you want to do it, how you want to do it, the way you want to do it, with whom you want to do it, and where you want to do it. No. You're going to do what I want you to do, the way I want you to do it, where I want you to do it, with whom I want you to do it, and how long I want you to do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I have a question for you. What did you sign up for? Is it discipleship or membership? See, here's the thing. Here's the thing, my brothers and sisters. Most of us have not signed up for discipleship. We've signed up for membership. See, when you sign up for membership in the church, you can show up anytime you want to. You can choose what you want to do. You can choose to do it at the time you are available to do it. You can choose to do it with whom you choose to do it. Because after all, membership has its privileges. And some people feel like when they sign up for membership and pay their due called tithe, then they can choose when, how, where, and what to do when they are called to the church. So members will get mad because Jesus requires them to work with somebody they don't like. See, members will quit when Jesus tells them to do a job that they feel is beneath their value. And members will get mad when Jesus tells them to love people that don't really care about them. I wish somebody was listening to me. See, members will stop coming to church when the preacher don't do what they expect him or her to do. Why? Because I am a member and I pay my dues. And when I pay my dues in this church, you got to dance to my music. Do we have any members here today? But disciples are a little different because their commitment is first to Yahweh. Okay, let me say that again. Six people missed it. Disciples are different because their commitment is to Yeshua. Okay, maybe you don't know that name. To Jesus. Disciples are first committed to Jesus before they're committed to a building and an address. Disciples are first committed to God and the kingdom. You know, it's so funny. My grandchildren, Jaden and Jeremiah, don't even know the name of this church. Do you know what they call this place? The kingdom. They call my robe the kingdom. Jaden will say, Dad, are you putting on your kingdom? Are we going to the kingdom? And I'm so glad that God has given this idea to my grandchildren, because even when we are driving places that are not the Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church on 4555 Fairfields Avenue, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70802, and they see another building that looks like a church, they say, Daddy, look at the kingdom. Because see, when you are tied up into the kingdom, then you are not restricted to a people at a particular location and what they do or don't do. Because this commitment is between you and Jesus. Watch this. Let me take you to the text. Luke chapter 9 and verse 22a. That's the first clause. And he speak unto how many? Okay, somebody say inclusive. But watch this. He speak unto all of them. But then he said, if any man. He didn't say if any group. If any community. If any man, he's speaking inclusively, but he is speaking individually. He speak unto all of them and said, if any man or woman, any boy or girl will follow me. In other words, my brothers and sisters, your commitment to Jesus should have nothing to do with what the name of your pastor is. Oh, show choir up in here today. Your commitment to Jesus should have nothing to do with who the elders are. Who's the head usher and the head deacon? Your commitment should have nothing to do with who shows up here or don't show up here. Your commitment should be an individual commitment to Jesus, so that when the deacon gets on your nerve, Jesus didn't get on your nerve. When the pastor don't treat you right, Jesus didn't treat you right. When the member look at you cross eye, Jesus is looking at you straight eye. Is there two people in here who can say, I'm committed to Jesus, I'm not committed to you? Now, yes, Jesus does set up leaders in the church. And we are supposed to work with those leaders. But we cannot punish Jesus for something a crazy leader did. You don't lie. I told you this was pastoral. So. Jesus says, you have to deny yourself. In other words, it's no more about your feeling. When you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's no more about what song you like. It's no more about who you want on your team. It's no more about how much availability you can have before you serve. See, denying self means I'm going to put all of my needs in the back.
and brings Jesus's need and kingdom need to the fore. But I'm so glad that Jesus didn't just leave it like that. He said in Matthew 6:33, if you seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then everything else that you need will be added to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to deny self. The second bullet point on the syllabus for discipleship, my brothers and sisters, is dying to self. Oh, wait a minute now. That's a scary one, Jesus. I'm still in the text. Luke 9:22. Open your Bible to that and don't close it because we're going to stay there all day. If any man, any woman, any boy, any girl will come after me, bullet point number one, first, deny himself. Bullet point number two, take up his cross. What? Jesus, do you know what you're talking about? The cross is an emblem of death. The cross is an emblem of pain and of shame. My brothers and sisters, the cross came into usage in 519 BC. It was first used by the Carthaginians. The Persians. The Persians and Darius was the first to use a cross when he murder or executed 3,000 rebels in Persia, 519 BC. And then he passed it on to the Greeks, and then the Carthaginians, and then the Romans. And by Jesus's time, the cross was used as the most painful way to execute a criminal who has been convicted and sentenced to the capital punishment of death. And to make that death so painful and shameful, the convict had to carry his own cross. It was not just an emblem or a symbol of death, but it was a symbol of humiliation and of shame. And my brothers and sisters, the record says that Jesus, Yeshua, our God, our Lord, had to carry that cross, that shame, that pain. He had to hang on that cross for us. And although you and I do not have to be physically hung on a crucifix, because Jesus has done the dying for us, Jesus is calling those of us who have committed to discipleship and is using the metaphor of a cross to show us the necessity of self-death and self-denial. Jesus said, you must take up your cross and not just take it up weekly, take it up on Sabbath when you show up at church. Jesus said, you got to take up the cross daily. Turn to somebody and say, daily. And one thing I discovered about dead people, because I've met a lot of them, I've funeralized a lot of them, is dead people cannot hear, dead people cannot see, dead people cannot feel, dead people cannot think, dead people cannot talk. I wish somebody was listening to me. Dead people cannot act. Jesus says, when you wake up every morning, if you are going to be my disciple, you are going to say, self, I got to kill you today. I got to kill my feelings. I got to kill my self-centeredness, so that when somebody talk about me, I can't even hear them. When they look at me funny, I can't even see them. When they try to hurt my feeling, I can't even feel it, because I am dead. Is there two people in here who can say, self, you gotta die? See, the reason why we got struggles in the church is because we're always hearing. Pastor, did you hear what the, no, I'm dead. Can't hear nothing. Pastor, do you know what the, no, I can't know because my brain is not, I'm dead. Dead people can know. Dead people can think. Dead people can hear. Dead people can feel. Pastor, they're trying to hurt your feelings. Well, they're just working on themselves because I can't feel nothing. I am dead. Is there two people in here who can say, Jesus, I need to die to self? I don't know if you were here, but when I first came to this church, and I've done it at every church that I've gone to, I tell them, don't you ever come gossiping to me about one of my members. Because I get up here in this pulpit, and I say, I want to tell you what Sister Brown told me about Brother Johnson. I believe y'all heard that. Y'all must have called Ephesus and got the 411, because none of you will come to me with that junk yet. Yeah, I was at one church and they thought I was joking. And so the person came and said something. So I got in the pulpit during the time of the announcement. And I say, I want you all to know that this week, Sister So-and-so came to my office and told me this, that, and the other about Brother So-and-so. And I just want to put it out in the air just in case you haven't heard it. Hopefully they'll work it out. See, when you start doing that, you can save your feelings. Because the people that are talking to you are not standing up for you. See, when they come to you and they say, Elder Jones, you know, Pastor Weegar said this and this about you. They didn't say, and I told him he was wrong. And I told him, you know, Elder Jones is one of my brothers and is your member, and you shouldn't be talking like that. Nah, they didn't say that. They talk just as ugly about you, but they want to get ahead of Pastor Weegar so they can cover themselves. My mama used to say, dogs that bring bones take bones. So my brothers and sisters, God is calling us to a place where we have to die to self and stop being too into your skin about everything. Yeah, is that what I said? In your feeling. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Skin, feeling, whatever. Help me preach my little sermon. Every little thing turned you off. You can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ if everything get under your skin. Sometimes people don't even know they are hurting you. Because you don't know what people are dealing with. And if it bothers you, then go talk to them. So you can fix it. So that we can work together. Walking around here huffing and puffing, nobody know why your blood pressure is 380 over 120. Because somebody don't put something in your brain that may not even be true. And you're not man or woman enough to walk up to your brother and say, can I see you in the pastor's office? I want us to talk this thing because I love you and I want us to work together and live together. You're walking around, this ain't high. You act like you don't hear it. I know y'all don't lie. I told you this was pastoral. And everything is falling apart because somebody has poisoned you with some foolishness that has nothing to do with the kingdom. And there are people dying out there in the world, and you are here huffing and puffing over somebody not giving you a glass of water at the dinner. Oh, did he just bring water for all of you and didn't bring me no water? I told you he never liked me. A glass of water? to your neighbor and say, neighbor, do me a favor. Die to self and do it daily. Jesus says, if you are going to be a disciple, not a church member, this is not about church membership. Anybody can be a church member. This is about discipleship, following Jesus. The third bullet point is, if we are going to be disciples of Christ, we must show deference to the Savior. Somebody said, show deference. It means submit. It means be humble. It means be willing to do what you are asked to do. It's there in the text. If any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, in parenthesis, will be my disciple, they must first deny themselves. The second, die to self, pick up their cross. And third, show deference to the Savior. Follow me. My wife and I were in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona. We were coming back, and we were trying to get on I-10. And Sister Lesson, my GPS, my phone lost data. And so the GPS got twisted around, and it put us on another highway that we thought was I-10. Supposed to be I-10 East coming back to Baton Rouge. And we got on this highway and we drove for about 2 hours, and then we realized we were going up and down through these canyons of Arizona. Of course, because of my vision problem, my wife was doing all of the driving. And after a while, I said, baby, this doesn't look like an I-10. And then we started seeing stop signs. You don't see no stop signs and traffic lights on I-10. This highway now narrow to this little strip going through towns. And it started to get dark. And I said, baby, we need to stop and get some direction. So we stopped at a service station. Walked in there. We said, listen, we are from Baton Rouge. We came here on a little excursion. We're heading back. And we got lost. We're trying to get back to I-10. Can you please tell us how far we are from I-10? And while we were talking to the attendant, her supervisor came from the back office and came and said, listen, I'm getting ready to clock out. And I'm going to be heading toward where I-10 is. If you guys are willing to wait, you can follow me. And I'll take you to I-10. I wish somebody was listening to me. Now watch this. I'm talking about showing deference, showing submission, showing humility. We are supposed to be getting on I-10 to come back to Baton Rouge. This is a 23-hour drive. This woman says we should follow her. But she goes back in her office to finish up what she was doing. Now, if we want to follow, we have to submit. So we went and got in our car and sat. Then a few minutes, Elder Jones, she gets out of her car, out of the store, and she gets in her car. When she turned on her engine, we turned on our engine. When she put on her right turn signal, we put on our right turn signal. When she started to drive, we started to drive. We were coming back to Louisiana. She was living in Phoenix. We needed to get to I-10. She was the professional. She was the expert of how to get to I-10. We were the novices. We didn't know how to get to I-10. But this lady said, if you follow me, If you submit to me, if you do what I say do, I will get you to where you're trying to go. So when she started going, we started going. We didn't get in front of her. We didn't get beside her. We didn't lag too far behind. I wish somebody was listening to me. When she stopped, we stopped. When she made a left turn, we made a left turn. We didn't know where she was turning, what street she was turning. She didn't stop to tell us, I'm going to turn on this street, put a signal at that street. We just knew that if we are following this professional and we do what she's doing, we are going to get where we need to go. Jesus don't have to explain to you why you got to work with Brother Brown or Sister Jones or Brother Johnson. He just said work with them. He doesn't have to explain to you why you have to stop, why you have to go, why you have to turn right. When Jesus turns right, you turn right. When Jesus turned left, you turn left. When Jesus stopped, you stop. When Jesus moved, you move. Don't get ahead of Jesus. Don't lag behind Jesus, but stay right with Jesus. Is there two people in here who can say, I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoever my lot may be, whether I goeth, I will follow. Yes, my Lord, I follow thee. I like a stanza of that song that said, though the road be rough and stormy, trackless as the forming sea. Watch this. Thou hast trod this road before me, and I gladly follow thee. Anybody know that song? I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoe'er my lot may be. And though all men do forsake thee, by thy grace I follow thee. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to show deference to the Savior. My brothers and sisters, the syllabus for discipleship is denying self, dying to self, and showing deference to the Savior. And that is so difficult for most people to do. That's why most people rather sign up for membership than discipleship. See, they're not willing to submit first to God and the authority that God has set up over them. So they'd rather be a member than a disciple. Because when you are a member, you don't have to be accountable to nobody. When you are a member, you are not following. You do what you want to do. You do how you want to do it. You do it when you want to do it. And you even do it with whom you choose to do it. See, that's membership. Everybody say membership. But discipleship says, I am the novice. And because I am the novice, my commitment to you and my submission to your authority, Jesus, is going to dictate that I put my own desires on the background. I always tell you about one of my favorite motivational speakers. His name is Les Brown. Les Brown has this story about when he was in Florida and wanted to be a disc jockey. He said he went to this place and he asked the man who was the manager for this radio station. He said, I want to work here. The man said, do you have any degree in communication? No, sir. Have you ever done any disc jockeying before? No, sir. The man said, get out of here. You ain't qualified. He said he went home. He got discouraged. But then he thought, I need to go back. He went back the next day. He said, how you doing, sir? My name is Les Brown. And I want to. The man said, weren't you here yesterday? He said, yeah. He said, but I thought maybe somebody quit. He said, nobody quit, and you don't come back here. You get out of here. He said he went home. He got discouraged, and he thought, I'm going to go back tomorrow. He went back. He said, sir, when he got the message, I know who you are. He said, yes, but, sir, you don't know how much I want to. So he said the man told him, go get me some coffee. He said he went in. Got the coffin. I'm talking about submission, following. He said, the man said, go out there and wash my car. He went out there, washed the man's car, had it sparkling clean. He said, then after a while, he said he didn't even have a driver's license. He said, but there were superstars coming to town, and the man needed somebody to pick them up from the airport. So he said, boy, can you drive? He said, yes, sir. He said, go to the airport and pick up whoever the person was. He said, Gladys Knight and whatever. He picked them up, and he's riding with these stars. He said, then after a while, one day he was in the studio, and the gentleman who was supposed to be on the air, he got drunk, and he started, kind of not talking right. His voice started being slow and slurred. He said the owner of the radio station called the station because he was listening. He said, and he picked up the phone. Hello. He said, is this young man? He said, what's going on? He said, well, he seems like he's not doing well, sir. He said, is any other disc jockey there? He said, no. He said, I tell you what, call this person and tell him to rush to the station. He said, yes, sir. He said, he hung up the phone. Waited for about 5 minutes, pick it back up, call him. He said, sir, I call everybody, but nobody's answer. So the man said, can you control the dials? He said, yes, sir. He said, now don't say anything, just control the dials. He said, he thought I was crazy. He said, he got on that dial and he said, this is, and he had this little line that he runs. He said, I'm about to show you. And that's how he got the disc jockey job. And he was one of the best disc jockeys in that city of Florida. Because he was willing to be humble. He was willing to buy the coffee. He was willing to do what everybody else thought was humiliating. He showed deference to the professional. Jesus, my brothers and sisters, is the professional. This is his kingdom. We are his people. And if we want to go where he is desiring to lead us, we have to sign up for discipleship and not membership. We got to go where he says go. We got to deny ourselves of some of the things that we want. We have to die to self and realize that it's not about you. Because you know what I have learned? Whether you are Uyghur or whoever, you drop and die here, we will not shut this church one day. I have discovered, and you always hear me say, no one monkey stop this show. Because this show is kingdom show. Whether you show up, the show will go on. Whether you work, the show will go on. Whether you don't work, the show will go on. Whether you get mad and leave, the show will go on. Matter of fact, let me be the one to bring you the bad news. You met the show here, and you're going to leave the show here. The show doesn't stop because of me, because of you, because of anybody. But if we stay in the boat, like the young man said last week, then this show doesn't only start here, but it intends to make appearance in eternity. Jesus says, if any man, any woman, any boy will come after me, he or she must first deny his or herself, pick up his or her cross, and follow me. No wonder Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live in this flesh, I live it by the grace that is given to me by Christ. He says again in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, I beseech you now, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is the best that you can do. He says, your reasonable service. And my brothers and sisters, I believe the disciples understood that, and they were willing to sign up for that. That's why of all of the disciples, only one died a natural death. His name was John the Revelator. John was put in boiling hot oil, and it didn't kill him. Oh, bless his name. They took him out of the hot boiling oil, and they put him on the Isle of Patmos. And John says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Jesus gave John the greatest revelation of Jesus Christ. John wrote it in the book for us. After they took him off the aisle, John went to Ephesus and became the pastor of that church in that city until he got old and died. But the rest of the disciples, Matthew was stabbed to death in Ethiopia. Mark was hung Mark was dragged by horses. They tied Mark to horses in Alexandria, Egypt. And Mark was dragged throughout the street till he died, brothers and sisters. Luke was hung in Greece for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter was crucified on an X-shaped cross. Matter of fact, when they were going to execute Peter, Peter begged his executioner. He said, don't kill me like you killed Jesus. Don't put me on an upright cross because I'm not qualified to die like that. Oh, Peter, do you want to denounce Jesus? He said, no, you got me twisted. He said, I want you to kill me, but this is how I want you to kill me. Turn me upside down because I'm not good enough to die the way Jesus died. Is anybody listening to me? James, the elder of the church at Jerusalem, he was taken up to the southeastern pinnacle of the temple. Some scholars say that's the same place the devil took Jesus to tempt him. And James was thrown from that pinnacle 100 feet below. He dropped and survived the fall. And the Bible says his murderers came. History says that his murderers came. And when they found out James had not died, they beat him to death with a fuller's club. Bartholomew, my brothers and sisters, was a missionary in Asia. You remember Bartholomew? He was a missionary in Asia. And he died by being beaten till they said when you saw his bones, you thought he was filleted. James, the son of Zebedee. Oh, I wish I had time to tell you how each one of these disciples suffered for Jesus Christ. James, the son of Zebedee, this is what they did to him. They beat James so bad that he couldn't move. And then just to extend the pain and the shame of his death, they decided they were going to hang him upside down on the cross. And history say when James was approaching the cross, Elder Landry, he saluted the cross. And he said, I have been anticipating and expecting this joyful day to come. The Bible, history says that James was hung on that cross, and for 2 days he preached Jesus from the cross until he expired finally. Thomas was stabbed to death in India where he went to start a church. Thomas became a missionary. I'm talking about these disciples. Matthias, who replaced Judas Iscariot, they stoned him and then beheaded him. Paul, the latecomer on the show, who was arrested by Jesus on the Damascus Road and sentenced to doing services for God, wrote 14 books that make a part of the New Testament. He was beheaded at Nero's chopping block in Rome. After, on his way to Rome to die, he had to suffer shipwreck and then a snake bite on an island. And he didn't turn around. Because God said to Paul, you're going to preach about me in Rome. And Paul died in Rome. My brothers and sisters, each one of the disciples died a heinous death, but they died shouting hallelujah. Because like Paul says in Hebrew, they looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm so glad that somebody understood what discipleship is all about. And you and I are mad because somebody didn't speak to you at church. They didn't invite you to their dinner. They didn't get you. We're talking about people who died cruel death and did not recant. And Sabbath morning, we're too tired to get up to make it to Sabbath school. We can't even miss a day of work on Saturday. And we got the nerve to tell people we are Sabbath keepers. And we are wondering why nobody is being converted to Jesus. Because they are watching church members and not disciples. Oh, did I tell you about Andrew? Andrew was beheaded. But the Roman guard who was responsible for guarding Andrew and escorting him to the executioner's axe had heard Andrew defend the faith of Jesus Christ with such passion and such power and such willingness to die with it that when the guard escorted Andrew to his death, he knelt down beside Andrew and said, I have accepted Jesus and I am willing to die like this man. Oh, I wish somebody would understand the power of his might. Jesus said, don't worry about when I'm coming. Don't worry about how I'm going to come. Don't worry about what Rome is doing and what the Pope is doing. Ye shall receive power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my disciples in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. I'm done, my brother. I stopped by to tell somebody today that God is calling us to discipleship and not membership. And if we desire to be his disciples and are willing to deny self and die to self and show deference to the Savior, I stop by to tell you that he said your bread and your water will be made sure. He said no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. He said I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said I will be with you until the end of the world. He said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give out unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled. He said, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that you may be also. Come here, John. Tell me about that place. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth would pass away, and there were no more sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven like a bride adorned to meet her husband. And I heard a voice out of heaven say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he shall be their God, and there shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither pain, nor suffering, nor crying, for the former things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new. John, write this, because it is faithful and true. Is there two people in here who believe that God is faithful, that God will keep his word, that God will bless us, that God will empower us? I just got a little question I want to ask. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Here's an appeal before we go eat and talk about ministry. You want to move from church membership to discipleship. I'm asking you to just step out of your seat. You want to die to self. You want to deny self. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You want to submit to fellowship. You're not coming to Theodore T. Ron Wegar. You're not coming to any of the elders here. You are coming to Yeshua HaMashiach, the one the Greeks called Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. You are saying, God, I will follow you. Wheresoever my lot may be, where thou goest, I will follow. Yes, my Lord, I follow thee. I follow thee, God. I don't want to be a church member. I want to be a disciple. I don't want this to be about me, God. I want it to be about your kingdom. God, take me today. Oh God, as your people come, I'm coming too, because this is not just a message to them. I'm coming with them because I need to stay focused and keep my eyes on you and to follow you. Yes, God, I'm weak just like they're weak, and I'm flawed just like they're flawed, and sometimes I get in my flesh like they get in their flesh. But God, today we are saying, give us the power to wake up every morning and say, die today, Tyron Uyghur. Die today, flesh. Die today, earthly desires. Die today, carnality. And let Christ reign. Let Christ live. Let Christ be exalted. Let Christ be magnified. Let Christ be glorified. Let the people that I come in contact with be edified. And all bless his name. Let the devil and his kingdom be horrified. Move, Jesus, move. Anybody else? This is discipleship. This is not membership. We ain't calling you to be an elder, a deacon, an usher. Anybody can do that. We're not calling you to be a choir member, a ministry leader. Anybody can do that. You know, you don't have to be saved to do any of those things. You just have to have the intellect and the skill. And do you know, Elder Prochet, some of us have gotten so good at doing church that we don't even need God. We can church without God. But I thank God that today somebody is here saying, I want to be a disciple. This is not about anybody at 4555 Fairfields. It's about me and you. It's about me and you, God. God, I'm praying now for these people that have stood. I'm praying that they know what they're signing up for, God. Because all hell is about to break loose in their lives. The enemy is going to come at them with everything he has. Little Daniel Charles preached here last week. Talk about a storm. They got in their car. Listen to me. They got in their car. His mother driving. They didn't even get at the intersection of 10 and 12. The power steering locked. The pullover in the car shut down. My daughter Faith had to come and take the rest of the family home and leave Elder Oscar Charles. In all that heat, it was like 98 degrees. Elder Charles stayed in that heat, he said, for 5 hours before road service got there and they were able to get the car away. That young man was talking about a storm. He said, matter of fact, I'm in a storm. But he didn't know there was a storm waiting for them. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. We are living at a time that the devil is so mad at the people of God because he's trying to distract us because time is about to run out. And he's saying, see, here's his strategy. If you are 99% on God's side and 1% on the devil's side, you are on the devil's side 100%. See, that's what the devil knows. So he said, I'll make them feel like they're in church because they got positions. But I will have their heart. That's why they're still hating each other. That's why they're still treating each other nasty. That's why they're still hurting each other. But the true Christian is willing to say, I'm going to be the one hurt so that you can be saved. The true Christian, the real mature Christian is saying, I'm going to be the one to suffer the pain
because you haven't got to where I'm at yet.
And that's what I'm asking those of you that are standing up.
That's what you're signing up for.
This no cash. This is not a joke.
That's why everybody can sign up for this. You are saying, God, I'm putting you first in everything. Even my natural life. And watch God show up. Because no weapon that's formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you will be confounded. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Yevareka Adonai. Vyeshmireka. Yeera Adonai panak valeka vakunika. Yeser Adonai panak valeka. Vaisim likha shalom. God, you told Moses, when my people come, put my name on them. Say, God, bless you and put a fence around you. God, smile upon you and watch over you everywhere you go. God, let his peace be upon you in your going and your coming. God, I put this blessing on this group that woke up today and say, God, I am signing up for discipleship because the enemy is just waiting to start raising hell, but we destroy and send the enemy and his powers back to the pit of hell where he belongs right now. And God, I give you glory and honor. Everybody else is standing now. We're all standing. We're all standing. We're all standing. God, I thank you for what you've done here today. I thank you for this word, God. I pray that it takes root in our hearts. Time is running out. May we be disciples and not just church members. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord. God bless you.